The following is a class on Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 9, Text 245, given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on February 15, 1997, in Mumbai, India.
Appearance day of Sripad Madhvacharya. We would like to speak briefly about this very great Acharya, who is the prominent personality of the Madhva Sampradaya, in which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally chose to receive initiation within, and thus by his great mercy we have all been connected to the super illustrious acharyas of this line. Madhvacharya stani aila yanha tattvavadi udupite krishna deki tahan haila premomadi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next arrived at Udupi, the place of Madhvacharya, where the philosophers known as tattvavadis resided. There he saw the deity of Lord Krishna and became mad with ecstasy. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sripad Madhvacharya took his birth near Udupi, which is situated in the South Kannada district of South India, just west of Sayadri. This is the chief city of the South Kannada province, and is near the city of Mangalore, which is situated to the south of Udupi. Near the city of Udupi is a place called Hajaka Chetra, where Madhvacharya took his birth in a Shivali Brahmin dynasty as the son of Madhyageha Bhat in the year 1040 Shakabda, or 1118 AD. According to some, he was born in 1160 Shakabda, or 1238 AD. Srila Prabhupada is here in describing the beautiful place that Srimadvacharya appeared, also called Parasuram Chetra. It is a holy place after Lord Parasuram conquered all the Kshatriyas. A number of times he performed tapasya and gave everything that he had conquered to Kashyapa Muni and the rishis. And of course, he did not want to ask for anything back that he had already given, but he wanted a place where he could continue his tapasya. So by his great powers as a Shaktivesh avatar, he went to the place that is now South Kannada and Kerala, and he threw his bow into the ocean, and where it landed, the ocean receded, and that place became a new province of land in which he resided for some time. And the very actual mountains in which he resided is the area where Sri Madhvacharya decided to take birth. It was in a small village called Pajaka Kshetra. Therein there was a great Brahmin of the Shivali dynasty. His name was Madhyageha Bhat. His wife's name was Vedavati. And they had one daughter, but they had no son. Two children they had, who were both sons, but they both died during their infancy. So this great Brahmin was so anxious to have a great devotee of the Lord to help deliver the world as a son, that every day he would walk to Udupi, to the Ananteshwara temple. In those times there was two very ancient temples which were very famous, the Chandramaleshwar and Ananteshwara temples. And from Pajaka Kshetra, to Udupi, I believe it's about 30 miles. He would walk every day early in the morning. He would fast. He would offer fervent, intense prayers to the Lord, perform puja. And he did this every single day without fail for 12 years. And one day, after performing this tapasya during a festival, the pujari climbed up onto the flagstaff, the raised platform, and he announced to everyone that the Supreme Lord Ananteshwara has revealed to me a very special truth to be announced. That Vayu, the great and powerful god of the wind, will soon incarnate within this world in order to bestow transcendental knowledge and devotion to all the world. When Madhyageha Bhatt heard this, he understood that this Vayu avatar would be his own son. In fact, it is explained that at one time, seeing the degraded situation within society, the demigods were praying for the welfare of the people on the earth, and they all approached Lord Vishnu. And Vishnu explained that he would personally send Vayu with all powers and knowledge to deliver the pure message of bhakti. So soon the wife of Madhyageha Bhatta became pregnant, and on the very auspicious day of Vijayadashami, the illustrious son was born. And he was so beautiful. His bodily features possessed those of a Mahapurusha. And because of his beautiful features and the great charm in which he attracted everyone's heart, he was given the name Vasudev. And Srila Prabhupada explains here, there are many wonderful stories about his childhood. Just after his birth, there is of course that period when the mother stays in a secluded place only with her servants. As soon as that was finished, the parents thought that this son is the mercy of Ananteshwara, and we must reciprocate. We should immediately, before anything else, bring our child to the lotus feet of the Murti of Lord Krishna, and we should offer him at the lotus feet and perform great acts of devotion to show our appreciation to the Lord for this great gift. So they went to the temple of Ananteshwara. And in those days, there was no road. You had to go through all jungles and places that were not even safe. And they offered so many wonderful prayers. They offered their child. In fact, there was a wonderful festival. The whole city of Udupi celebrated the birth of this little child, Vasudev. And by the time the festival was done, it was night, and they had to return. And in the night, there was very great darkness. And as they were traveling through a thick forest, they all began to be haunted by a terrible ghost. And they became very fearful. They were trembling in fear. And then to everyone's great amazement, the ghost spoke in a very thunderous voice and said, "Generally, my policy is to kill any newborn children. But this child is an avatar of the great Vayu, and he has descended to this earth to do great things. So I bow down to him." And the parents were very happy, relieved, and astounded. When Madhva was just an infant, not even 1 year old, they used to sometimes leave him with his elder sister. And he was just peacefully sitting, and no one was at home, and then he started to cry. So she thought, "I don't know what to do with this baby crying. Maybe he's hungry." So she put him near this big, big mountain of boiled horse gram. You know horse gram, very difficult grains to digest, even for a grown man. It's usually fed to bullock. He was only within a month or two old. He ate the whole pile. He ate more than a full-grown bull could eat. Because of course we know that being the avatar of Vayu, he was also an avatar of Hanuman and Bhima. And Bhima's attribute was that he was Brukodar. Prabhupada said Brukodar meant his belly was hungry like a wolf. He could eat any amount of prasad that was required. Another day when he was less than 1 year old, little baby, his parents, they couldn't find him anywhere. So they were searching everywhere. And soon the whole town was looking for him, but they couldn't find him. This was in the morning. He was gone the whole day. Then somehow or other, at the end of the day, they found him. There was a huge, dangerous bull with big hump on his back and massive horns. And Madhva, who was then Vasudev, he was hanging on to the tail of the bull and just swinging to and fro. For 12 hours practically, from early morning till night, he was just hanging from this bull's tail, going wherever the bull was going. Everyone is afraid of such bulls. And when the parents saw this, they were shocked. What a dangerous situation. But they saw him and he was smiling and laughing so happily that they understood that everything must be all right. So somehow or other they removed him from the tail of the bull and embraced him and began to thank God Vishnu for saving their beautiful child. Another time when he was hardly about 3 years old, his father, although a Brahmin, was also a landowner. And one time his father bought some bullock, some oxen, from a wealthy merchant. And somehow or other his crops were not growing very nicely that year, so he had no money to pay this man. And in those days people were very honorable, because according to the Hindu culture, the culture of Sanatana Dharma actually, hospitality toward a guest is one of the most important factors of grihastha life. If you offend a guest, you offend God. And you cannot eat unless you feed your guests nicely. So this particular man, who the debts were owed to, he asked the father of Vasudev, "You must pay me." He said, "I don't have anything to pay you." He tried everything he could. He just didn't have the money. So he said, "Then I will sit at your doorstep and I will fast and I will not leave this place until you pay me. Now if a guest fasts, nobody in the family can eat." And he vowed to stay there and fast until he got his money. Meanwhile, the wife already prepared nice prasad, but no one was allowed to eat it. So Vasudev came to his father and said, "Prasad is ready, let's have prasad." He said, "I'm sorry, I cannot have prasad." "Why you can't have prasad? Invite your guest in." He said, "I owe him money. If I can't pay him money, I cannot eat, and he will not leave. He's fasting." So Vasudev, always anxious to serve his devotees, who happened to be his father, very happy little child, he just ran up to that person and said, "Please come with me, I want to show you something." So who could resist the charm of this beautiful little boy? So he went with him, and they went to a tamarind tree. And under that tree there was some tamarind seeds. And little Vasudev filled his hands with tamarind seeds and said, "Here, I want to give you this." And the man was so charmed by him, he opened his hands and said, "All right, I will take these tamarind seeds from you." And he dropped the tamarind seeds in his hand, and when the man looked in his hands, they were all pure gold, precious coins. Exactly the amount of the debt that was owed to him. So he was very astonished, and he went and told the father, "Thank you very much for paying the debts." And the father said, "I didn't even pay the debts." He said, "Your son, he has given me all these gold coins. This is very nice." And to this day, for those of you who have gone to Pajakakshetra, the birthplace of Madhvacharya, the descendant of that original tamarind tree is still there in that place. And it is a holy place that for the past over 700 years, pilgrims have gone to worship that tamarind tree, where this great founder Acharya of the Madhva Sampradaya performed this wonderful miracle when he was hardly just a little child. One time, when he was a little boy, he disappeared again. And the parents were looking everywhere for him. And nobody could find him. And then some sadhu came from Udupi. And he said, "Oh, I have seen your son. He was doing puja at Chandramaleshwara temple. And then he was doing puja at Ananteshwara temple. And then he was doing puja in so many other holy places." And they all went, "How he traveled so far? He was not even 3 years old." They asked him, "How did you get here?" He said, "I am not alone." He said, "I came with my associate Vishnu. He took me here." This was the type of natural devotion he had and the type of incredible pastimes he performed. On another occasion, he began his education and his father began to educate him, and he found his son had such incredible scholarship. Just anything he was taught, he knew that and more. In fact, his father began to teach him certain things and he started teaching his father things. And his father was a very learned Brahma. Usually the Upanayana, the sacred thread, is given to a Brahman when they're about 8 years old, according to the tradition of the time. But he was given when he was only 5 years old. And at this time when he was five, Srila Prabhupada explains this wonderful pastime. One time he was playing in the forests near Pajakakshetra. And at that time, a terrible demon, who actually was from the time of the Mahabharata, his name was Maniman, he appeared as a ferocious serpent. And he had come specifically to kill the child. So as this little five-year-old boy was playing alone, all of a sudden, out from the forest, this massive, massive snake with his mouth fully opened and his fangs all sharpened just pounced upon the child to kill. He was a terrible, monstrous demon. And little Madhva very effortlessly just pushed the serpent down, and with the toe of his little five-year-old foot, he crushed the head of the serpent and killed him. Now after that happened, some people saw it, and people gathered around, and they all began to glorify him and praise him. They were so pleased to see what kind of a miracle had just taken place before their eyes. And his mother was at home, several miles away, and she was wondering, "Why my little child Vasudeva is late? Where is he?" And she began to worry about him, so she began to call out, "Vasudeva, Vasudeva." And not wanting his mother to worry, from that place, with one jump, he came to the door of his house. Srila Prabhupada explains, when his mother would call, he would come in one jump from wherever he was. First he displayed the strength of Bhima, then he jumped like Hanuman. He was brought to become educated by a very learned scholar, by his father, and his teacher was just so amazed to see the incredible scholarship of this tiny child, and how he was so eager and anxious to read the Vedas, the Puranas, and how he was mastering them when he was hardly 5 years old. One time the son of the teacher had a terrible headache and fever. It appeared he was going to die. It was so painful, and the father was dying just to see his son like this. So little Vasudev, who happened to be an avatar of Vayu, he went up to his little friend and he blew in his ear. And the child immediately became better. And the teacher was very much grateful to him. And after the education was complete, Madhvacharya decided to give his teacher Guru Dakshin. And what was the Guru Dakshin he gave him? Because at that time, Shankaracharya's philosophy was the traditional philosophy that practically everyone followed. It was just accepted that this is the truth, what Shankar taught. So he began to explain to his teachers the Vedas, the Vedanta Sutra, Puranas, the Upanishads, with the conclusion of devotion. In this way, as Guru Dakshin, he gave his teacher bhakti to Govinda, and his teacher became a very great devotee.
When he was about 8 years old, he decided that he had enough of this material world of sense enjoyment. And he decided he wanted to take sannyas. So he wanted to find a guru who would give him sannyas. And he just left home. And he went searching. And in Udupi he found a very, very great scholar and a very famous guru whose name was Achyuta Pariksha. This Achyuta Pariksha, his ashram was very famous. Great sadhus and scholars, acharyas from all around would come to stay at his ashram when they were in that area. He was a very noble and very advanced soul. So when little Vasudev came before him, 8-year-old child, requested, "I want to be your student and take sannyas." Achyuta Pariksha, upon seeing him and hearing him speaking, he understood this soul is very special. This is certainly the ultimate gift of God that he is giving me a student like this. And he began to train him. And then Vasudev, while he was there, his father was very worried. "Where is my son? He is not coming home at all." So he began searching everywhere and everywhere. And finally he found his little effulgent son, 8-year-old child, in the ashram of Achyuta Pariksha at the Anandeshwar Mandir in Udupi. So he told his son, "You must come home." Son said, "I have no home. My home is the lotus feet of Krishna." He said, "No, you must come home." He said, "I will not come home. In fact, I will take sannyas." This was like a thunderbolt to his father's heart, because he was the only son. And by this time, Madhyageha Bhat and his wife were quite old, and they needed a son to take care of them. So the father, first of all, began to try to make Madhva feel sorry for him by weeping and crying with a broken heart, saying, "I've done everything for you, I've prayed for you, I've raised you, I fed you, and now we're old and we need you. You must help us. You cannot just leave us like this. We'll be helpless. We will die." But Madhva was firm in his determination. "Krishna will protect you." And when his father saw that the sentiments of tears were not working, he became very angry, started chastising, shouting, yelling. And little Vasudev started chastising and shouting back. And when he saw that that didn't work, finally he fell at the feet of his son, begging him, "Please come home." And little Vasudev, who was very clever, he said, "This is a very auspicious sign." He said, "The only time a grown man bows down to a child is if that child is a sannyasi. So this is a omen that I am seeing, that I should take sannyas." So he didn't know what to do. So he went back home and told his wife that our son wants to take sannyas. He's just a child. And she was very disturbed. She didn't know what to do either. So finally, he decided, "I will go and somehow or other get him to come back." But by that time, Vasudev had already left with his guru to go traveling on pilgrimage and preaching. So the father was walking many, many miles, all the way from Udupi to the banks of a river which is close to Mangalore. And there he found Vasudev and Achyuta Pariksha camping out. And he came, and again he started crying, and then they started having arguments. And finally, in the heat of the argument, little Vasudev, just to show his determination, he took his cloth and he tore it into a kopan and put it on and said, "You see, now I am a sannyasi." And his father was shocked. He didn't know what to do. So then his father finally said that, "We have no son. How can you do this to us?" And Vasudev said, "I will remain a brahmachari in the ashram of my guru, but I will not take sannyas unless you give me your blessings. And I will receive your blessings if you have another son." So he said, "I will discuss this with your mother." So he went back. A little time passed. and his wife was pregnant. And after some months, another son was born. Beautiful son. And then Vasudev went to his mother, Pajaka Kshetra, said, "Now you have another son. Now you give me blessings to take sannyas." She started crying. She said, "Impossible. I cannot give you blessings to take sannyas. You're only 12 years old. This time he was 12. So he said, "All right, I will give you two choices. Either you do not give me blessings, and I promise, I vow to you, you will never see my face again for the rest of your life. Or you give me blessings, and you'll see my face as a sannyasi." So ultimately the mother and father decided it's best to see him as a sannyasi than to never see him at all. So they gave their blessings. And this was a glorious, glorious ceremony at the Anantheshwar temple in Udupi. Achyuta Preksha was so proud to have a disciple like this, and the whole town and everyone around came, and there was a big, big festival. And during this festival, the danda was given to the child, and his head was shaved, and all of his beautiful garments were taken off, and he was put on saffron robes, and his spiritual master gave him the name Purnapragyatirtha. And because of his great devotion to Lord Krishna, he was later on known as Madhvacharya. So, after taking sannyas, his guru began to teach him the scriptures written by Shankaracharya of the Advaita philosophy, because that was just the accepted knowledge of the time. His guru was very old. He was born and raised with this Advaita philosophy. So as he would explain it, his own pupil, who was only 12 years old, everything he would say, he would just defeat it. And his teacher was, "How can I teach you this if everything I say you defeat?" So Madhvacharya told him that these books of Shankaracharya's are useless. We should not study them. We should study Srimad Bhagavatam. So he convinced his teacher that they should begin to study Srimad Bhagavatam. And Madhvacharya just spent day and night just reading Srimad Bhagavatam and digesting and realizing all of its essences, as well as other scriptures. Especially from his very childhood, he was very fond of the Aitareya Upanishad, the Mahabharata, the Bhagavad Gita, and he would explain everything according to the conclusions of pure bhakti. In fact, he became a master of the Vedas, and soon he began giving discourses, and more and more and more people were coming. They were fascinated by his interpretations, by his commentaries, and soon masses of people were coming every day to hear this child sannyasi speak. And along with his explanations, he was challenging anything that was not establishing pure unalloyed devotion. And this Achyuta Preksha was so proud of him. He was becoming so famous. He was so empowered. He was defeating all opposition that he decided to have a very, very auspicious ceremony. The ceremony was to coronate this child as the next Acharya of the Math of Achyuta Preksha, like the prince who will become the next king. So he wanted to show the whole world that this child is going to be the disciplic representative of myself in this Math. So there was a big, big festival, and at that time, according to the tradition, Achyuta Preksha bathed him with auspicious ingredients from a conch shell, and he awarded him at that time the name Anandatirtha. And soon his challenges became so powerful that any scholar of any religion anywhere around was feeling terror that if we do not defeat him, then he will steal everybody away. He will convert all of our followers. So many of the greatest pundits, the Mayavadis, the Buddhists, they were all coming, and they were elderly, learned, seasoned scholars, and he was only a child, and they were coming and chastising him. What nonsense. And he would just very politely, but very nicely, defeat them all. It is explained that one time, two Buddhists came, very, very powerful Buddhist scholars. And they challenged him to a debate. And the debate was supposed to last several days. First they spoke, then he tore everything they spoke to pieces, philosophically. And then he spoke, and they were speechless. And they said, tomorrow we will come back to defeat you. Now we are tired. So that night, when everyone was sleeping, they ran away. Never to show their faces again. And then Madhvacharya did something that nobody could believe. He was publicly, in masses, he was preaching against the Sariraka-bhasya of Shankaracharya. His commentary of Vedanta Sutra, which was the very basic sustenance of all religions at the time, practically in the south of India. Except in the eastern provinces, Ramanujacharya had great influence. But to most, the Sariraka-bhasya was the commentary of all Veda. And he was saying it was completely bogus, it was nonsense, and Shankaracharya was wrong. And this raised tumultuous opposition. And as all of you know, the Sringeri Math, which is the capital of Shankaracharya, is not far from Udupi. So when they were hearing that he was denouncing the Sariraka-bhasya, they were furious, angry. Meanwhile, one day, Madhyageha Bhatt, father of Madhvacharya, who was so much against him being a brahmachari, and even more against him being a sannyasi, one day he came to Udupi, and he saw his child giving beautiful, beautiful commentaries and discourses from Srimad Bhagavatam. And he saw so many people listening and literally surrendering their lives to him. And he saw people challenge and how he defeated them. And the father's heart was filled with so much love and so much pride, he just began to weep and cry in ecstasy that I have a child like this. So those of you who are upset because your children are taking to the renounced order, just wait. Soon you will be very proud and weep tears of ecstasy that your child is doing such wonderful service to humanity. One day, Madhvacharya decided he wanted to go on a pilgrimage to the river Ganges. And Achyuta Preksha was thinking, he's still very young. To travel all the way to North India to the Ganges is very dangerous. And besides that, how can I live if he leaves me for so long? So at that time, a very wonderful celestial voice spoke to everyone and said, there was a kund in Udupi, and the voice said, that the Ganges will come and fill this kund. 3 days every 12 years, this kund will be none different than the Ganges. And it will begin today. So there's no need for you to travel all the way to North India to go to Ganges. So to this day, near the Udupi Krishna temple, this kund is there. And every 12 years, there's the biggest wonderful festival there where everyone comes to bathe in the Ganges. Soon after this, Madhvacharya decided to take a tour of South India. And he took some of his followers with him. By that time, he had many disciples who had surrendered to his divine grace. And they went to Trivandrum. And they went to the Anantapadmanabh temple. And there, to their great surprise, at the same time, he was face to face with Vidyashankar, who was the Shankaracharya of the Sringeri Math, the topmost powerful guru and authority of Shankaracharya Sampradaya. And he had already heard all these rumors and messages and news about this young boy, Purnapragyatirtha, who was, as far as he was concerned, blaspheming Shankaracharya and blaspheming the whole Advaita philosophy. So he was very angry. And he was very senior and very older. And he said to Madhvacharya, you think you have a better idea? Then you discuss with me. So they began a debate. And when Vidyashankar saw that this Madhvacharya was extremely learned and his philosophy was irrefutable. He was thinking, he's just a young child and I'm a very elder, senior sannyasi of many years. So he started chastising the boy, that you should not talk back to me, I am your older. And Madhvacharya yelled at him and chastised him. Told him, you're speaking all nonsense, I will talk whatever I want to you. So Vidyashankar was very upset. He didn't know what he should do. He was losing the debate moment after moment, and yet so many people were watching. It was a great embarrassment. So he used his great intelligence, and he said, just to get out of the debate, he said, you say that the Sarīraka Bhāṣya, the commentary of Vedanta Sutra of Shankaracharya is wrong. I will not stand and speak with you anything unless you can present a commentary that's better. This is the standard commentary. You cannot speak against it unless you personally have a commentary that can defeat this. And in this way, he stopped everything. And he somehow or other escaped. And then Madhvacharya decided to go to Rameshwaram for Chaturmasya, the 4 months, to do tapasya. And he camped out at Rameshwaram. And when he arrived, he found out that just next to him, Vidyashankar was camping out for Chaturmasya at Rameshwaram. And Madhvacharya didn't mind. But Vidyashankar Maharaj did not like this at all. Because he was preaching Advaita philosophy, and Madhvacharya was preaching Dvaita philosophy, and Advaita and Dvaita don't match. Dvaita completely defeats Advaita. And he's giving his pravachans, and next door he's giving his pravachans, and everyone was coming to see Madhvacharya. No one cared for this old Shankaracharya. They were just fascinated by this beautiful little boy who was preaching the highest philosophy, completely just breaking the teeth of the Vedantists of the Advaita school. And Vidyashankar was very, very disturbed. Well, what will happen to our sampradaya? So because he was very influential, he was harassing Madhvacharya in so many ways. Through government, through dacoits, through so many ways he was threatening him and sending all sorts of fears to try to get him to leave. But Madhvacharya did not move for the whole 4 months of the Chaturmasya. Then he came back to Udupi after touring many places of South India, and he prepared his commentary of Bhagavad Gita. The first commentary he had written. And he decided that I cannot present this commentary of Gita to the world until it has the blessings of my eternal spiritual master, Vedavyas. So he decided to go to Badrik Ashram in the Himalayas to search out Vyasadeva. And he took some of his disciples with him. One of them was Satyatirtha. Very, very great and loyal devotee, whose name is synonymous with Madhvacharya. And they traveled and they went to Badrik Ashram. And at the Badrik Ashram they went to the temple of Badrinath, Badri Vishal, where there is the beautiful deity of Vishnu and Nara Narayan Rishis. And he stayed there and worshipped that deity for many, many days. And sometimes he would just close the doors of the deity room. And one time, he just stayed with the deity all night long. And his disciples were sleeping just outside, and they could hear what was going on inside. He was reading his entire commentary of Bhagavad Gita to the deity. And then they heard the voice of Vishnu saying, "This is very good commentary. I give you all blessings." After receiving the blessings of Narayan and Vishnu, he decided he must directly have the blessings in the darshan of Vedavyas. But Vedavyas is not to be seen by ordinary men. At this time he is living in the upper Badrinath, which is way, way, way up into the highest peaks of the Himalayas where there is no path, where no man can go. So Madhvacharya told his followers, "I'm going to go there. How will you go there? It is impossible. No man has ever gone there and lived. He said, I will go. And he fasted for 48 days, continuously praying and chanting the holy names of the Lord. And then he wrote a last will and testament in case he didn't make it back. And he wrote it in his hand and gave it to his disciples. And as a sannyasi, what did he own? He said, Vishnu is the supreme personality of Godhead. His form is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And I give you my teachings. That is my will and testament. I give you my teachings that you should always worship Vishnu as a person. And this is a long journey. I may not come back alive. So you continue to propagate these teachings. And then he decided to go. And Satyatirtha said, I must go with you. He said, it's very difficult. Where I'm going, no man can go. But Satyatirtha, you please must let me go. So he said, all right. So they began to walk. And of course it is all snow. There's no food. For days and days, he didn't even stop to sleep at night. He was so enthusiastic to see Vyasadeva. He just walked. And he walked so fast. Satyatirtha was running as fast as he can through snow, trying to keep up with him. No eating, no sleeping. And after some days, he was completely exhausted. So Madhvacharya looked back at him and smiled and said, you will not make it all the way. You should go back to the lower part of Badrikashram. So then he waved his hand like this. And being Vayu, just by waving his hand like this, instantly he just flew back. He was just carried by the wind and brought back. And within seconds he was sitting with all the other god brothers at the Badrinath temple. And Madhvacharya continued his journey until ultimately he came to the beautiful hermitage where he saw great, great sages and rishis sitting around Vedavyas, who was discussing the essence of bhakti and Vedanta philosophy to his disciples. And when Madhvacharya saw him, he was just overwhelmed with ecstatic love and ultimate humility. And with great affection and reverence, he came before Vedavyas and he offered his prostrated obeisances. And he completely surrendered his life at the lotus feet of Srila Vedavyas. His body, his mind, his words, his very life, he offered it in Vedavyasa's service. With such humility and devotion that Vedavyas was completely satisfied. And he gave him all blessings. He gave him blessings that his commentary on Bhagavad Gita would establish the true principles of devotion in the world. And he blessed him to preach to the whole universe. So receiving these wonderful, affectionate benedictions from Vedavyas, he returned to meet his disciples. And then they began their trip back to Udupi. And on the way, a very historical incident took place, which Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this beautiful purport. He came to the river Godavari. And the two most famous scholars of that area were living there. One's name was Shobhana Bhatt, and the other was Sama Shastri. Shobhana Bhatt was a Mayavadi, and he heard the glories of Madhvacharya, and he happened to hear his teachings, and he understood this person. His commentaries are so charming, they're so full of love. And they're so profoundly philosophical. I should surrender to him. But I can't surrender to him until he completely defeats everything I believe in. So Shobhana Bhatt challenged him to a debate. And in this debate, Madhvacharya easily defeated him. So Shobhana Bhatt surrendered his life to him. And he was given initiation and sannyas. And his name became Padmanabh Tirtha. And then the Sama Shastri, when he heard that Shobhana Bhatt had become an initiated devotee of Madhvacharya. He came to Madhvacharya, and he didn't even argue. He just surrendered. And his name became Narahari Tirtha. And these became two of the greatest, most famous and powerful acharyas in the line of Sri Madhvacharya. He returned to Udupi, and one day he decided he wanted to compose beautiful poetry in glorification of Lord Krishna. And in his heart, he understood that in order to inspire this poetry, Krishna was going to appear to him on that day. So he went to the shore of the ocean in Udupi, and he sat in the sand and began to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At that time, he saw a big boat coming from Dwarka, and then a storm came about, and the boat became tossed about by the waves and winds. And then it got stuck in the sand, and it was about to just be completely destroyed. And the captain of the boat and all the people in the boat, they were helpless. They didn't know what to do. And they saw this beautiful, effulgent sannyasi sitting on the banks of the ocean. And they looked at him, and he just waved his chatter like this. And as he waved his chatter, all the storm and all the waves went away. And he signaled to them how to get out of the sandbar. And they followed his instructions, and they came to the shore. And they came out of the boat, and they bowed down before him to surrender to him. And at that time, they offered him any amount of wealth he desired, because this boat was filled with great, great precious paraphernalia that he had brought from Dwarka to sell. And Madhvacharya said, "I am not interested in material wealth. But if you are coming from Dwarka, you must have some Gopi Chandan. Gopi Chandan is the clay that we use for tilak." So they said, "Yes, we have Gopi Chandan." So he came, they brought out these big blocks, big, big blocks of Gopi Chandan. And Madhvacharya began to sing the beautiful glories of Krishna. And the Gopi Chandan cracked open, and there was a beautiful deity of Lord Krishna with a churning rod in one hand and a rope in the other hand and butter in one hand also. And the story of this deity is very wonderful. It is explained in Dwarka. One time Devaki was praying to Lord Krishna that although I gave birth to you from my womb, the beautiful childhood pastimes that you enjoyed in Vrindavan, I never got to see. You came back when you were already grown up to live with me in Mathura and now in Dwarka. But every mother cherishes seeing the beautiful baby and childhood pastimes of their child. So she requested, "Please show me those pastimes." So Krishna revealed his beautiful pastimes as a baby stealing butter from Mother Yashoda. And Devaki was so full of joy, ecstasy. She had never experienced such love for her child as when she saw him in his Vrindavan Leela. And Rukmini also happened to see this. And afterward, in her palace, she prayed to Krishna that this form has enchanted my heart even more than your form as you're standing before me. This form of Bal Gopal. Please produce a murti by which I can worship you in this form. So Krishna personally manifested this beautiful deity of Gopal Krishna. And Rukmini worshipped that deity with great love and devotion in Dwarka. And at the time of the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty, that deity was put in the lake where the Gopi Chandan is found. And somehow or other, within the Gopi Chandan, by the arrangement of the Lord, the deity was brought to Udupi. So to bring the deity to the middle of Udupi from the seashore, Madhvacharya asked his followers. And 30 men, they tried to lift it, but they could not. So heavy. So Madhvacharya himself effortlessly lifted the deity. and placed on his shoulders. And as he was walking back to the town of Udupi, that's when he recited this beautiful poetry. He composed it. And the beautiful verses that he composed at that time are sung by the true disciples and descendants of Madhvacharya each and every day. It's considered the very essence of their worship to chant these beautiful prayers of Sri Padmacharya. And at that time, Madhvacharya wanted to establish very, very pure and strict standards of deity worship. Soon he asked some of his followers to erect a temple. Actually, it is said that there were so many people willing to give their whole life savings, even kings were willing to give everything. He could have built a temple on the level of Sri Rangam if he desired. But he wanted a very simple temple with very high standards. So they erected a very, very simple little temple, as you have seen today. But within the temple, there was so much bhakti, so much devotion. Madhvacharya personally worshipped the deities and personally taught his followers how to worship the deity. And he established all the timings for the deity puja and all the articles to be worshipped. And in order to make sure for all generations to come these standards would never change, he gave 8 of his disciples sannyas. And he put each one of them in charge of a mat. And they would rotate those 8 sannyasis worshipping, called parayaya. And for all time to come, the deity standards would be preserved and sustained in this way. After establishing the deity worship very nicely at the Udupi Krishna temple, Sri Padmadvacharya decided that he should go back to Badrik Ashram to visit his Guru Maharaj, Vedavyas. It's a very famous, Prabhupada describes in brief in his purport, some of the stories that took place during his journey, his second journey to Badrik Ashram. He came to Maharashtra. You all know where that is. And at that time there was a very, very envious demoniac king in Maharashtra. His name was Mahadev. And he wanted to do welfare work, but the way he did welfare work was to everybody's dismay. So he decided to dig a lake, because it's pious to dig lakes. So anybody who would be seeing on the street or coming by where they were working, he had soldiers who would arrest them and put them in chains and force them to dig the lake. So in this way there were thousands of people with shovels and axes and picks just digging the ground to make this big hole for a lake. And any pilgrim that came by, any traveler that came by, anybody, they would just be arrested and told, you have to dig this lake. And they weren't allowed to leave until the lake was finished. So Madhvacharya and his followers were on their way to Badrik Ashram, and they were arrested by the soldiers and told, you have to dig this lake. And Madhvacharya had a higher purpose than digging lakes. So he said, I want to see your king. Who is this king of yours? I want to see him. He was very sweet. He was very sweet, but very determined. So the soldiers understood that we should bring him to our king. So he went before the king, Mahadev. And the king was very charmed by the humility in which Madhvacharya approached him. And he said, but you have to dig this lake. Madhvacharya, he had this mystic power. He could control people's minds. He said, I will dig the lake, but how can I dig the lake unless I know how to dig a lake? I've never dug lakes before. So you have to show me how to dig this lake. So the king said, all right, I will show you. So Madhvacharya gave him the axe and the pick and the shovel and said, I'll watch. All my followers will watch. You dig. So the king started digging. All the soldiers were shocked. The king is digging. And he was digging and digging for hours. And he got so absorbed in digging that Madhvacharya and his followers just left. And nobody even noticed. They were all watching the king digging. And then they came to the bank of the Ganga. And they were approaching North India. And at this time, the Muslims and the Hindus were having terrible, terrible conflict with each other. The Ganga was the border. On one side was the Hindus and on the other side, Muslims. And on both sides, there were armies lined up. And no one was allowed to cross the river. There was no boats. So they came to the Hindu side and decided to cross. And the Hindus said, you cannot go across. Madhvacharya said, we are going across. Where is the boats? There's no boats. And the Ganges there was a very, very powerful current and very deep. So Madhvacharya told all of his followers, everyone hold hands. This holding hands has some history in our sampradaya. So everyone started holding hands, and Madhvacharya was the first one. He was holding someone's hand, and it was a whole disciplic succession of hand-holding. And Madhvacharya just went into the water and just crossed it, and everyone who was with him just crossed the Ganges with him. It was a great miracle. And when they came to the other side, these Mughal soldiers were so angry. You have broken our law. You must be punished. You must be tortured. You must be killed. So they were about to punish and kill them. Madhvacharya said, why do you want to punish and kill? Because it is the order of the king. I want to meet your king. They were thinking, anyone who can pull all these men across the Ganges and float across, at least he should meet our king. So they brought him before the king. He was actually the Mughal king of Delhi. Very, very powerful. Madhvacharya came before him, and he didn't even speak philosophy. He was just so nice. He was so friendly to this king that the king was completely charmed by him. He began to speak in perfect Persian, which was the language of the king. And he gave so much nice courtesies and so much nice mannerisms that the king was so pleased with him. He said, please stay with me. Don't ever go away. And Madhvacharya said, but I am going to Badrikashram. He said, if you go, let me give you a gift. I will give you half my kingdom. I will give you half of this entire province to be your own, plus half of my treasury and so much money. And Madhvacharya said, I do not want any of these things. And the king bowed down before him. This was the power of this great soul. And then they were traveling through the jungles, and Satyatirtha was walking, and this terrible tiger jumped on Satyatirtha and was about to devour him. And just at that very moment, Madhvacharya very gracefully just touched the tiger on the head, and the tiger fell to the ground and died. And Satyatirtha was very happy. He felt, I owe my guru my life on every level. And ultimately they went to Badrikashram, and Srila Madhvacharya again met with Vedavyas. And this time Vedavyas gave Madhvacharya 8 shalagram shilas, very special, to bring back with him to the Krishna temple. And it was at that time, during that visit, that Madhvacharya also wrote his very, very famous commentary of Mahabharata, and also his commentary of Vedanta Sutra. Vedavyas gave that blessing to him at that time. So he came on his way back. He stopped in Hastinapur, and he showed all his disciples the wonderful holy places of the Kurus that they performed there. And he also took them to Kurukshetra. And being Bhima in previous life, he knew Kurukshetra very nicely. At that time, Kurukshetra was just dry fields, like it is today perhaps. There was nothing going on, very peaceful. Acre after acre after acre of just agricultural fields, desert-like fields. And Madhvacharya was explaining each little place what took place in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And his disciples could actually feel and experience the presence of the battle of Kurukshetra. This is where Bhima did this. This is where Arjuna did this. They were getting whole parikrama of Kurukshetra. And then he took them to a very secret place, and he dug in the ground. And there he took out Bhima's club. The famous club that you read about in Mahabharata, that Bhima, he broke the back of Duryodhana with that club. He broke the heads of all the elephants. He destroyed practically all 100 sons of Dhritarashtra with that club. That club is one of the most favorite parts of Mahabharata. and it was hidden to the world. But he knew where he hid it, and he came and he showed his disciples that club, and then he put it back in the ground for no one to ever see again. Then he took his disciples to Varanasi, and he created a tremendous commotion in Varanasi, because all the Mayavadi, Shankarite, sannyasis and followers, when they heard his commentaries of the Vedanta Sutra, and they heard all of his various arguments, they all came before him in debate, and he defeated all of them, and transformed the whole of Varanasi into people who understood the glory of Vaishnava philosophy. Then he returned to Udupi, and at that time, at the Sringeri Math, previous Acharya had already left his body, and the new Shankaracharya, his name was Padmatirtha. Along with him, there was the greatest of all Shankarite philosophers and scholars. His name was Pundarik. And they were being approached by all the followers of Shankaracharya that unless you defeat this Madhvacharya, our Sampradaya would be finished. So under tremendous pressure, they decided that somehow or other they have to debate with him. And they understood that he wrote so many books, and he had such a library of all the scriptures, that on the basis of Shastra, he could prove every point he wanted to speak. So they decided, in order to really defeat him, we have to steal all the books from his library. So they hired some thieves, and Padmatirtha and Pundarik indulged in a debate with him. And while the debate was going on, the whole library of all his books were stolen. And the first day of the debate, he was so strong in his philosophical expertise and in establishing the true Siddhanta of the Vedas, and he refuted the Mayavad philosophy so thoroughly that Padmatirtha and Pundarik somehow or other were trying to just stall until the end of the time of that day. And then they said, "We will continue and we will defeat you tomorrow." And Madhvacharya said, "All right, you return tomorrow." So that night, in the middle of the night, they ran away. They did not want to face him again the next day. But when Madhvacharya returned, all his books were gone. And this was a great crisis. So Madhvacharya went following them to see if he could find them. He knew that they stole his books. So ultimately he went to the king. The king's name was Jayasingha. And Madhvacharya preached to the king, and the king actually became his devotee. And the king said, "Actually, I know where your books are. They are at a holy place called Vishnu Mangalam, where there is a temple." So the king went to Vishnu Mangalam and arranged a huge reception for Madhvacharya. When Madhvacharya arrived there, there was big sankirtans. Everyone was playing drums and chanting the holy names and offering him garlands and giving him all kinds of food. And when he ate food, he could eat so much food. One time he was in Goa, and they wanted to give him a lot of prasad. So he ate 4,000 bananas and 35 pots of milk. Hare Krishna. He was very fond of honoring prasad. After giving him nice prasad and honoring him, they brought him to the temple of Vishnu Mangalam, and there the king surrendered to him, and the pundit of the whole kingdom, who was one of the greatest scholars of the time, his name was Trivikramacharya. When he heard Madhvacharya speaking, he became so impressed that he personally surrendered to Madhvacharya and became his disciple. He was a grihastha. Trivikramacharya's son was named Narayanacharya. And Narayanacharya is the author of the Sri Madhva Vijay, which is the authorized biography of Madhvacharya. In fact, all the stories we are telling today are excerpts from the Sri Madhva Vijay by Narayanacharya, who Prabhupada praises in his beautiful purport of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhvacharya, he was so expert at turning people to Vaishnavas, one way or another. When he was in Varanasi, not only did he defeat the Mayavadis philosophically, But Varanasi at that time was a great place for athletics. So there were a whole gang of wrestlers who had no philosophical expertise at all. Some people think that you're great if you have a big, strong body and you can defeat people with your fists and your strong arms. And other people think you're great if you can defeat people through knowledge. So he defeated everyone with knowledge. And then all these wrestlers came. And he said, oh, you want to wrestle with me? You come. So he completely, within seconds, they were all laying on the ground. And this way they surrendered to him. How could they not? He defeated them in their own game. And when he was in Udupi, after coming back and retrieving, actually after Trivikramacharya became his devotee, and they gave all the books back to him, and he happily brought the library back to Udupi. And Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport how one, the strongest man at the time, his name was Kadanjari. He and his brother were both very, very powerful persons. So they heard that Madhva was very strong. So he came and he said that he started bragging what he could do. I lifted a pole for a temple that 50 men could not lift. And he was explaining all the other feats of Herculean strength he had performed. He said, I want to challenge you. I hear you're supposed to be strong. So Madhva said, all right, you say you're so strong. I request you to lift my toe off the ground. So Madhva then put his toe on the ground. And he started pulling and pulling and pulling. He was just straining and he was just making all noises. And his veins started coming out and perspiration started flowing from every one of his pores. And he was panting and he was just pulling and pulling and pulling. And then his brother came and he was also a strong man. He was pulling until they were both completely exhausted and fell to the ground. And Madhvacharya's toe was still sitting nicely without moving. Another time, a great famous Kshatriya-type warrior who was very famous for his strength, he wanted to challenge Madhvacharya to a physical match of prowess. So Madhvacharya said, all right, I want you to squeeze my neck as hard as you can. So then he started singing in a very, very beautiful, sweet voice. He started singing these nice ragas about Krishna. And meanwhile, this strong man with his arms, with his hands, with his legs, he was squeezing his neck. And Madhvacharya just kept singing. There wasn't even a trace of interruption in his voice. Not even like that or anything like that. And this went on, and Madhvacharya was just smiling and singing, and finally the person fell at his feet. In this way, Madhvacharya showed not only his great philosophical prowess as an acharya, but also his pastimes as an incarnation of Bhimasena, the brother of the Pandavas. It is described in Navadvip Mahatmya by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that during one of the travels of Sri Madhvacharya, he came to Navadvip Dham. And when he saw the beauty of Navadvip, he understood that this is the holiest of all holy places. And he fell asleep near the banks of the Ganges at Modudamdvip. And while he was resting there, the beautiful form of Lord Gauranga as the Gauravatar appeared before him. And when Madhvacharya saw his supreme worshipable Lord Narayan in this most munificent feature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he fell at the feet and surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya told him that I will descend in about another 200 years in this holy place of Navadvip, and I will accept initiation in your sampradaya. Because of your worship of Lord Krishna and your great refutation of impersonalistic philosophy, I will become a disciple within your sampradaya. So now you travel everywhere and you defeat the Mayavadis and you establish bhakti and devotion to Krishna as the supreme path of transcendental realization. And in the future, you will see me again. You will attain my eternal abode and worship me in this beautiful form. And then the Lord Gaurachandra disappeared. And after the disappearance, Madhvacharya began to weep and cry in great ecstasy, begging, "Oh, when will I see this beautiful golden form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again? When will that day be mine?" Madhvacharya was also very, very famous for the sweetness of his voice. He was always engaged in singing beautiful kirtans and bhajans, and he composed many too. Because actually, the very conclusion of all philosophy and debate is to sing the praises of Krishna by chanting his holy name. Madhvacharya established that the Supreme Absolute Truth is a person. And the impersonal aspect of the truth is only a partial manifestation of Him, the energy of the Lord. And that this material world is not an illusion, as the Advaitavads claim, but it is real. Because Janmadya Shayataha, the Absolute Truth is the source of everything. If the Absolute Truth is real, all emanations from Him must also be real. But this material world, although real, it is temporary. The elements of material existence are eternal. There are 24 elements, but they have temporary manifestations through the process of transformations. And he explains in great detail how these 24 elements of material existence are activated by the three modes of material nature, and how this creates all the activity within the Mahatattva, or material cosmic manifestation. And how all elements and everything is eternal, but how their manifestations and transformations create a temporary appearance. And how the Jivatma is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and due to forgetfulness of its true original identity, that Jivatma identifies itself with matter. And that is called Maya. The Shankarites explain that Maya is ignorance and everything is Brahman. There is no differentiation. It is only due to this ignorance that we temporarily forget that we are Brahman. But Madhvacharya established how that we are all part and parcel. We are all eternal servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. And nothing can exist unless it has its qualities originally in the Supreme Godhead. This world is full of variegatedness. This world is full of form, personality. How could the absolute source of everything be without variegatedness, without form, and without personality? The source must be the Supreme Personality, with full, supreme variegatedness, with a supreme eternal form of bliss and knowledge. In this way, Madhvacharya established pure devotion to the Personality of Godhead as the highest truth. He preached in this way very boldly and wrote many beautiful commentaries to the Holy Scriptures. He lived in this world for 79 years. And in the Ananteshwara temple, he was sitting on the simple platform that he would preach every day. And he was giving a lecture from the Aitareya Upanishad, his favorite book, to his disciples. And on this very day that we are celebrating today, Sri Madhvacharya, during his dissertation of pure devotional service, his body disappeared right in front of all of his disciples' eyes. And just at that moment when he disappeared, showers fell from the sky and fell where his body had once been. And this was the beautiful pastime of Madhvacharya's disappearance from the world. Sripad Madhvacharya explained to his devotees shortly before his disappearance that they will not find his body, because his body will return to Badrikashram to be in the association of his Guru Maharaj Vedavyas, where it is today, and his spirit would remain in the hearts of all of his disciples who follow his teachings and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you very much. Shri Padmadvacharya ki, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Gau Premanandi.